Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Praise God. What a morning, eh, so far? I don't want to spoil it, so I think we should go home now, actually. No, far from it. You know, I want to take my hat off to these guys at the front here, Pastor Paul and Kate. And Dan, you know, the way they do this church news with this camera, a small handheld camera. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's an awesome thing. And also to Dan, because he's done so much on the graphics and the design of things. So thanks very much. Come on, let's give him a God of glory. You know, it's someone told me, who's sitting fairly close to where I'm standing at the moment, that preaching is a bit like flying an aircraft. And after I've done 24 years in the Air Force, I should know a little bit about flying aircraft, although I wasn't a pilot, I was an airframe engineer. Although I did fly many times in aircraft and have taken control of several aircraft with the permission of the pilot. And this morning I've been given permission from the pilot to fly the aircraft for this morning. So I hope your ride's going to be not too bumpy, hopefully. A pleasant ride for some, maybe. But it's like taking off is the easy part, and flying's not too bad, but it's the landing. And I've always been warned on how you land the aircraft, how you're going to bring the message to an end. And I thought, well, that's a good point, you know. And there's three ways normally you can bring an aircraft into land. You can either hand it back over to the pilot. Or you can put it into autopilot and leave it up to the man upstairs. Or else God might say, well, no, let the co-pilot have a bit more practice and let him bring it into land. Yeah. So we'll see as we go along how the aircraft will land. You may have to put your knees, head between your knees. Oh, praise God. You won't find any life jackets under your seats. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you like walking? I think when you live around here, or maybe not just around here, but other places in the country, we like to go for a walk. And I'm just wondering, who's been for a walk this weekend? Well, there's quite a few. And how far have you been walking? Not far. What, a couple of miles, or... 1 mile? Went to the 1 mile. Can anyone beat 1 mile for this weekend? How far, Jackie?
4 or 5.
4 or 5? Anyone else? Any?
I said we were going to
Filey. Filey? Wow.
9 miles.
Eight miles? 7 or 8 miles? Wow. That's, how long did it take you, Kate?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
We stopped for snacks.
And walked on the beach as well. That's cool. That's good, isn't it? It's good when we can get out and we can walk. And it's about a couple of people that took a walk this morning I want to speak about. And if we turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke 24. How many visitors we got with us this morning? First time visitors? Second time visitors? Those that have been before and still are visitors? Let's give them a warm welcome this morning. We do welcome you on behalf of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, and trust you'll be having a blessed time with us this morning. Luke 24 then, and we're reading from verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, and their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And yet the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day. And since all this took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came out and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going to go further. Maybe to Bridlington. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them that it was written, "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was out last night with Street Angels. Kate's team was out. She was out all night. I did half a night. And we're just chatting about a little bit on... We've been to the churches together in Scarborough to the meeting beforehand at the Queen Street Methodist Church. And we're just talking about preaching generally, you know. And we're saying about how some preachers have 3 points, you know, and this sort of thing. And I'm standing there going, And I think the term is used called baby boomers. And it says, "Oh, Pastor Colin's a bit of a baby boomer, you know, like a 3-point sermon, this sort of thing." I'm sitting there, I says, "Yeah, Kate," I says, "it's amazing. I've got a 3-point sermon for tomorrow." And she said, "Well, you must be older than I am." And sometimes with Paul, you see, he'll just go off on this and he'll grab bits from here, there, and everywhere and brings it all together. But I've got a 3-point sermon, but whether or not I stick to it, I don't know. But we'll see how the Spirit leads. But the message I've named it this morning is Our Road to Emmaus. Our road to Emmaus. Whereabouts are we on this road to Emmaus for ourselves? Whereabouts are we on this road to Emmaus for ourselves? When we look at the passage we just read, it really surprised me. When I try to read a passage, I try to put myself in the place of the people I'm reading about, that you can get a feel for what's happening in their lives, of what I would be saying or doing. And they'd been up fairly early in the morning, obviously, because the women had already been to the tomb. And these guys were heading out of town, 7 miles away. And I've never been to Jerusalem. I don't know what this... Has anyone been along the road to Emmaus? Carol, John? Is it... I mean, probably these days, is it a made-up road now, or is it still...
It's a made-up road, yeah, but the town's in ruins.
Right, okay. So is it a tarmac road or just rubble?
Tarmac road.
Oh, praise God for today, then. I'm sure in the day of these two, that the road would have been a bit rougher than it is now. And that they were probably travelling in the midday heat as well. I don't know, 7 miles to walk. Maybe on a good road you can do it. What, in a couple of hours, Kate? But they were talking as they went along. And what they were talking about was the things that had been happening that weekend, that they just couldn't get their head around it. That these women had gone to the tomb and said the body was missing. Some of their friends, the male guys, had gone to the tomb and come back and say, yeah, it's right enough, you know. I don't know why we never seem to believe the women when they tell us something, guys. You know, we may, you know, start listening to your wives or your partners or whoever it is. They've got quite a good discerning spirit, you know. So let's listen to sometimes when the women speak to us, you know. We always have to prove it for ourselves sometimes, don't we? That we need to go and find out for ourselves, which is sometimes a good thing. Are you only a visitor to... And so they said, they went on the way, and this guy all of a sudden comes alongside him. He draws alongside him as they're walking, and yet they don't recognize him. They're so broiled in their conversation, they were stopped from recognizing him. I mean, this is the one they've been walking with for at least 3 years whilst Jesus was doing his ministry. This is the one that they've seen be crucified at Calvary. This is the one that had been teaching them for so many years, and yet they hadn't recognized him. So what is it that stops us from recognizing the things of God as we're walking on this road to Emmaus? What are the things that are stopping us from our eyes being open to realizing what God is saying is what he is saying, and this is what we should be doing? I think today that so often that the church has been so good at talking the talk, we've forgotten to how to walk the walk. That we need to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And I believe the church is waking up to this. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast, and they couldn't believe this guy just saying, what are you discussing? You know, are you a visitor to this place? I mean, for 3 days, probably for several weeks, there's been an uproar in Jerusalem where there's probably been a bit of rioting. Is this this guy called Jesus who had been arrested and was being beaten and was being made a scapegoat, really, by the Romans because of what the Jewish nation, the Jewish leaders were wanting done with him, of who he was declaring he was. So they just couldn't believe it. You know, what do you mean? Oh, you're a visitor to this place? Yeah, it's probably like a bomb going off somewhere, you know, and you don't realize about it. You know, it's probably that sort of activity that was going on at the time. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days? And then Jesus asked them, what things? So they explained of what had happened. And they had hoped, there was a hope in them. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day. So they're expecting something to happen on the third day. They're expecting that maybe something in the back of their mind, they remembered, oh, didn't Jesus say he's going to rise up on the third day? But something was stopping them from comprehending, well, there's something about this third day. They mentioned the third day. They had hoped that he was the one that's going to redeem them, redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and it goes on about them going to the tomb. And he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. How foolish are we sometimes? How many times does God have to knock, 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 you know, Brian, this is what I want you to do. Yeah, okay, Lord. And you just seem to get carried away in your own little world. And the things of God seem to be coming upon us, saying, this is what we want you to do. This is where we want you to go. This is what we want you to start. This is how I want you to build my kingdom. This is where we want you to go. How many times could God say to us how foolish we are, how slow of heart to believe? You know, God never seems to move us on to another place until we've cottoned on to the things that he's saying about us, you know, for today. He won't move us to another area or to somewhere else unless we've caught hold of what he's saying at the moment and doing what he wants us to do. And what was more, it is the third day. So they went along. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he went through, you know, they're walking along for 7 miles, and now Jesus has started to talk to them. "Oh, didn't you know about me? You know, I was going to come along, you know, people weren't going to like me very much, and I was going to, this was going to happen to me, I was going to suffer, you know, for this. But I was going to have to go to the Father, but I was going to come back again for you guys. I'm going to raise myself up on the third day because I've got the power within me," and all this sort of thing. And he's going through the Old Testament and the Scriptures and the prophets, you know, the people that have already prophesied these things. And, I can imagine these two on the road going, you know, the wheels are starting to turn again, you know. The lights come on and they found themselves at home, you know. Oh yeah. But they still didn't recognize him. They still didn't recognize him. And when he was as they were approaching the house, Jesus was acting if he was going to go further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is near evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it. The light definitely comes on then, because they're probably in the upper room as Jesus was giving the Last Supper. And it was as he broke bread, gave thanks, and shared it out that they recognized him. You see, there's no recognition without revelation. Yeah? There's no recognition without revelation. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They were kept from recognizing him on the journey. And it wasn't until they had revelation of the Scriptures that that Jesus was walking with them and started to talk about the things from the Old Testament and the prophets and the things within the Word about himself that they started to realize who he was. And then the final act was when he broke the bread and shared it with them. So there's no recognition without revelation. And we need that for ourselves today, church, on our road to Emmaus. We need the revelation. We need to recognize the things of God and have that revelation. We need to recognize what God is saying to us and have the revelation. We need to know the things that God is saying to us and have the revelation. What do you think God has been on to us here at Kingdom Faith Yorkshire about honoring the anointing? Not just once, not just twice, not three times, maybe four times. I wasn't here last week, but I listened to the message on the podcast. If you're not here, by the way, today, then but you can hear this message on the podcast. You can hear the messages. You can hear all the messages from the past, from Pastor Paul and others that have spoken on the podcast at Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. But it's good, isn't it? Because otherwise you're out of the loop sometimes if you can't make it on a Sunday. But it's great to get what God is saying. It's great to be in the position. And it's not just through Pastor Paul that's been talking about honoring the anointing. But we've had it from Pastor Colin that came along. We've had it from Pastor Clive and Pastor Jane that came to us. We've had something about John Bevere in the Honours Reward. I'm busy reading a John Bevere book at the moment. It's called Breaking Intimidation. And then I'll go on to the one that Paul's recommended. Because it's important that we're together. It's important that we're walking along together. It's important that we're getting the revelation at the same time. Without revelation, we don't get the recognition. You know, without recognition, we need to recognize the things of God, and we need that revelation. The opening of the Scriptures, a reading of the Word. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They had revelation and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures?" And he opened the Scriptures to him. We get revelation from the Word. The Word is so important. We can't go on in life without the Word. We need to be declaring the Word over our own lives. We need to be declaring over the Word of God over our church. We need to be declaring the Word of God over our family. We need to be declaring the Word of God over those that are still lost. We need to be declaring the Word of God, that the Word of God does not return to Him void, but accomplishes that for which He has sent it. We need to be declaring the Word of God. We need to be getting into the Scripture. It's only the way to go into the Scriptures to renew our mind. It's to be setting us with the knowledge and the understanding of the things that God has for us. It's the only way we're going to get revelation. It's through the Word. The Word, it's so important. The Scripture is so important to us. It says in John, beginning of John, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says that the Word became flesh, and that is in Jesus Christ. The Word is living. It's the only thing that brings us life. It's the only thing that sustains us. It's the only thing that builds us up. It's the only thing that keeps us going. It's the only thing that gives us a promise. It's the only thing that says, yes, amen to the Lord. And yes, we've got the victory in Him. It's the only thing that keeps us going. It's the only thing that He says to feed upon. Do not live on bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of Him who sends it. Come on, church. We've got to get into the Word. We've got to get the revelation. We've got to find out where God has taken the church. Pastor Paul is not upon his own. He's no good just being the head here. He needs the rest of the body with him. Yeah. It's about the church at Kingdom Faith Yorkshire that we need. And everyone that belongs to the church here has an important part to play. Right. But we need to get hold of the vision. We need to have that revelation that we can move on. Yeah. That we're not walking blind. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. You know, as we get revelation of the Word, revelation comes not just by the Word, but it also comes by the Spirit. Revelation also comes by prophets. In 2 Samuel 7:17, Nathan gets a revelation for David about building the temple for the covenant to stay upon, because it's been so many years that God had been on the move and was just staying within a tent. And Nathan got this prophecy to give to David. And it was a revelation that David received about building this temple. As it was Solomon that ended up building it. But the revelation was given to David. And there's so many things in that scripture, in that passage, in 2 Samuel 17, about the promises of God that He was going to do through David's line. That He was going to bless His sons, and the generations beyond that. And it's through revelation, through prophets, through prophecies. In Galatians chapter 1, where are we? I think I've lost my verse here. Did I say Galatians? That's the one, thank you very much. Galatians 1, verse 12. Thank you. Verse 11, start from verse 11. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by what?
Revelation.
Say it again, church. Come on, by
revelation,
hallelujah, from Jesus Christ. We received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. How do we receive our revelation? From Jesus Christ. How do we receive our revelation? Through the prophets. How do we receive revelation? By His Spirit. How do we receive revelation? Come on, church. The Holy Spirit is within each of us. He is the one that reveals the things of God. He is the one that teaches the things. He says, I only say the things that my Father tells me to say. I only show you the things to do that my Father shows me to do. Everything that the Spirit gives us, the Holy Spirit, is revelation of God. And so there, Paul was able to receive revelation from Jesus Christ. That he was able to go. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. It's the gospel of the good news. It's a gospel that was revealed to him by revelation through Jesus Christ. And that is where the power is. Revelation. Revelation of God's Word. through Jesus Christ, through the Word. Jesus is the Word. Ephesians 1:17, we've just done that one. Let's have a look at let's go to Ephesians 1:17. Just done Galatians. Ephesians. From verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and
revelation.
Wisdom and
revelation.
Hallelujah. That you may receive from the Spirit the gift of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. If we don't know the one that we're following, how are we going to preach the good news to other people? How are we going to live the life that God's given for us without the revelation that comes through the Holy Spirit, that comes through Jesus Christ, that comes through knowing him? And so it was then that they had this revelation because their eyes had been opened. They recognized him and received revelation of who he was through the scriptures. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true." So what happened when they received this revelation? They thought, "Oh, well, it's time for bed now. I've been traveling for 7 miles." It's not like just going down the beach and hobbling off to Philae. You know, it's been a bit of a rough day. The sun was beating down all day upon us, and we're a bit tired. You know, they're wanting to stay the night, weren't they? They asked Jesus in because the day was coming to a close. So what response did they have once they had the revelation? I'll try over here. What response? It's not a rhetorical question. Come on, church. What response? Sorry? Pastor Paul. Come on here, Paul. Pastor Paul. At least there's two of us. I've got the revelation. Indeed, they got up. What do they want to do? They wanted to go and tell somebody of what they'd seen.
Yes.
Amen? Come on, church. We need to be standing up and running and walking with what we get, with what we receive, with the revelation that we get. There is a response. There's a response of what we need to be doing. And in this case, they decided to go back. They wanted to go back to Jerusalem. They weren't bothered about resting now. They had some good news to tell people. And don't we have good news to tell people out in Scarborough or in Driffield or in Bridlington or the surrounding area, Langtoft and the surrounding villages? We need to be going out, church, and telling people of the good news.
Then
the two, and saying it is true, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. I'm sure they weren't walking back. I reckon they were running 7 miles this time. You know, there's an excitement in them. When God does something in our hearts, you know, there's a stirring, isn't there? When he speaks to us, we realize that God is speaking to us.
Yeah.
And sometimes we want to ignore that, but we don't. You know, I'm saying don't ignore the stirring of your hearts that God puts in us. Stir yourselves up. Be stirred by the Spirit of God. And let's rise. Let us arise and let us head back to our Jerusalem. Let us head back into the town of Scarborough. Let us head back into the surrounding areas. Let us head back into the place of Horsham. Let us head back into whatever town that you're from this morning and start doing the things that God has placed in our heart. That we've got the revelation. We've recognized it's from Jesus Christ. And now we've got a response to make. And so while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now before that, they said to they were able to go in the room, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So what happens next? They need a bit more of revelation, I think. So Jesus is actually standing next to them again. And they're afraid. They think it's a ghost. You know, where is our walk on this road to Damascus for ourselves? Come on, church. Have we got this spirit of fear? Is there a spirit of unbelief in us? Have we had the revelation yet? Have we recognized what God is saying to us as a church? Are we on the way back from the house going to Jerusalem? Whereabouts are we on this road to Emmaus? While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. They'd only met him about, you know, a couple of hours ago. However long it took him to run back, you know. I know it was brief, because he disappeared very quick after they recognized him, breaking the bread, but come on, guys, you know. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." He is going back to scripture again. He is going back to the word again. He wants their minds to be opened. He wants their minds to be set free. He wants them to know, this is me. I am the risen Savior. This is what I promised you. This is what I told you about. I'm here. And he's been appearing to them on several occasions. God will not move us on to the next place until we get the revelation of what he wants to do for us now. The clouds settled by day, and the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, it moved by cloud by day and fire by night. And God settled in the camp. And he did not move on until the Israelites were with him and for him. And then he got up and moved on again. Yes, Moses was bold enough to say, "I'm not going unless you come with us." And that's right for our church today. We don't go anywhere unless God says, "Come with me." And we stay in this position and we stay in this place until we get the revelation and the recognition and the response that God wants us to have. And he will not move us on, church, until we get it. And we say, "Yes, this is what I want from my life. This is the response I want to make to you today, Lord Jesus. This is a road of Emmaus I'm going to go on. This is a place I'm going to go back to. This is the things I want to do. This is a place that we're going to be honoring the anointing. This is a place when Dr. James comes, we're going to be honoring his anointing. This is a place where we honor Pastor Paul's anointing. This is a place where we honor whatever speaker God brings into this place, that we honor their anointing. We honor one another's anointing. We honor the anointing. We honor those who are above us in our daily work of place. They may be the worst boss going, but God has placed them above us, and we honor their anointing. And as we honor them, something of Christ will rub off onto them." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. God wants to open our minds, church. Without the recognition, without the revelation, we don't recognize. We don't have a response to make. Are we still happy just to be sitting in our seats? Or is there something that's stirring aside us saying, "No, I want to be part of something. God has been speaking to me to start this up, or start that up, or start something else up." It's not to do with Pastor Paul or Pastor Kate that they run everything within the church. God has given us a body to work with. And if God is moving in your hearts to start something, then take it to Pastor Paul Boyomis, and I'm sure he'll bless you. And say, "Well, go and do it." Because until we go and do it, then the things, you know, the response, there's no response. If we're getting the message, if we're getting the revelation that God is saying something to me and I'm not doing it, then nothing's going to happen, is there? There's going to be no fruit produced. So he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." We cannot do it in our own strength, church. Come on. Two things that happen once we get the revelation, the recognition, and before we respond, is that God fills us with his power from upon high. We are filled by the Holy Spirit. As soon as you ask Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus says, "I can lay down my life and I can take it up again." And it is that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that is in you and 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 everybody that has laid down their lives and said, "Jesus Christ, I want you to live in me. And it is no longer that I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And it is that power, church. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And it's that power that is able to work through us as we are obedient to Christ, as we recognize, as we have got revelation, and as we respond, the Holy Spirit will move by His power because He has got a work to do upon this land. He wants to heal people. He wants to set people free. He wants to see marriages restored. He wants to see family units restored. He wants to see everything within this world how He wants it to be, how He first designed it. He doesn't want to see anyone that should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, that all should be saved. I shall call your name Jesus, for you shall set your people free from their sins. He shall save all sinners. And it is that power that is within us, that nothing is impossible for God. How many times do we have to sing that song? Nothing, nothing is impossible. Hey, come on, church. How many times do we sing it? But it's not just singing the words, it's doing the actions. It's walking the walk as well as talking the talk. If we're saying nothing is impossible for God, why have we got a spirit of doubt? Get rid of it. Go out in the name of Jesus. Because I believe on Him. I believe that He is able to do all things. Amen. It brings you power. The power of the Holy Spirit within us. That nothing is impossible for Him. Jesus is not walking upon the earth today. He is walking and living through us. We are His body for today. The church is His body for today. We are the ones that He has chosen. Chose us even before time began. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it brings us power. Power from on high. And what else does? There's a response. All nations beginning at Jerusalem. There's something here about preaching that and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to His name throughout all nations, to all nations. In Matthew, is it 28, I think, is the great commissioning to go into all the world. And I challenge you this morning, church, of what is your response? Are we still happy to just live our lives every day, in and out, doing the same old thing? Or is there something fresh that what God is wanting us to do as a church? I believe there's something fresh that God wants to do as a church. There's this honouring of the anointing for a start. And as we honour the anointing with people around us, people for us, with no judgmental, without any judgmental heart, that we, Lord, give us a pure heart and clean hands before You, Lord God. And as we respond to that, then we won't be walking blind upon the road to our Emmaus. Because our eyes have been opened by the Word of God. That we have received the revelation. That we have recognized it is from Jesus. And that we are responding by going.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Good word there, Brian. Thank you. Praise God. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? When the disciples are on the road to Emmaus, they are disciples. And they've been in the best possible church you could possibly be in, really, haven't they? They've spent 3 years with Jesus being taught at the right hand of the Master. And this is a good church. You're getting good stuff here. All right? By the grace of God, we're getting taught by Him, aren't we? And directly by the Holy Spirit. But you can see, even in that presence, and this is the whole thing that really Brian is saying, even when you're getting the good stuff, you can end up going on the wrong road. And how do you end up going on the wrong road? You stop believing the word that God is bringing to you. You know, what are you going to do with the word? What are you going to do with what God has spoken this morning? Because the word really, I think, from what Brian is saying, is believe. You know, if there was one word to summarize everything that he was saying this morning, it's just believe it, will you? No, that's more than one word. Believe. Okay, because, and how do you know whether you believe or not? Well, you believe what you do. If you don't do it, you don't believe it. You're storing it up as an intellectual curiosity, maybe, but you certainly don't believe it. These guys knew the scriptures. They'd been taught by the Master, and yet they were on the wrong road. And when you get on the wrong road, you put yourself at risk, because that road to Emmaus, they could have been attacked by robbers at any time. You know, they were effectively in the wrong place. And also, when you get on the wrong road, after a while, you get comfortable and you sit down at the inn and you have a couple of bevvies and a cup of tea or whatever you're going to have and some cheese and you're relaxing and you're winding down. They were ready to go to sleep. But that's what happens when you don't believe the word, because when you believe the word, immediately they got up. Yeah? And they headed straight back. Where did they go back? To the place where they got the word in the first place. They went back to where they were in fellowship. They went straight back in amongst the disciples. They got together with the very first elements of the church there and began to share the word together and encourage one another. And when you don't believe, you get on this road. They were full of despondency. They were full of despair. They were miserable. But when you grab hold of the word and say, okay, I'm going to believe it. It doesn't look possible, but I'm going to believe it. Suddenly they're skipping back to Jerusalem and they're full of joy, yet nothing in their personal circumstances had changed whatsoever. They just chose to believe. You know, that's why I say to you, it's good to take notes on a Sunday morning. It's good to listen to the talks again over the internet on the website, because you take out of them, right, what do I believe from this word? What is God saying to me? Because if you believe it, you've got to do something about it. Because if you don't do something about it, you just end up on the wrong road, being susceptible to thieves and robbers, and ended up in a place where you're just going to have a mug of cocoa and go to sleep. But you'll be completely out of fellowship with the believers. You'll be in the wrong. There were people in the inn. They were still surrounded by people, but they were the wrong people. They needed to be with the believers. When you don't believe, you end up on a road and you end up comfortable with unbelievers. But God is saying, get up. Get up like these guys and get back on that road to Jerusalem. In fact, go further. Get into Jerusalem. Get amongst the believers. Amen? This is just the pilot doing a couple of laps round and coming in again. Hallelujah. That was a good message this morning. Hallelujah. What you're just hearing is, right, I heard Brian say that. This is how God is speaking to me as Brian saying that. This is what I'm writing down in my notebook. So really why I'm kind of sharing this with you is, this is how you listen to someone when they're preaching. You think, right, what are they saying? What is God saying to me? How does this affect me? What can I now share with others? How does this change? Yeah, and that's why that's what you do. You don't have to take down everything that somebody's saying. You take down what God is saying to you. Because I can guarantee during the week, it can go out your mind just like that. And yet God spoke. And there was something there and you thought, that's good. You know, and it's like that with a lot of things that God is saying at the moment. The whole aspect of honouring and faith for the impossible and reward and open house. And it was heard that Jesus was in the house. All these kind of things. Have you ever read on from that verse? Mark 2:1, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house. Go and read it and see what God is saying. It was Anne that first had that word. So she probably knows it. Says so in my notebook, a date, Anne McCrady, something, something, 2007. And actually, the word God gave her isn't just that bit, it goes on. And then believe it when you read it, and you'll get excited like those disciples. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.